The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Let's just say they kept it in their pants this time. Radio
X. Thank you very much for listening and downloading. Doing it in that order, is that right, Vin?
I don't think so.
Okay. Thank you very much for downloading and then listening to the Evening Show podcast.
Yeah, that sounds right. That makes sense.
Your first day back for 2 weeks away. I nearly ended myself in Dublin. That's why we're a bit...
We're both a bit shaky, aren't we?
Yeah.
I'm jet-lagged.
Yep.
I was just trying to hand you your house keys and I handed you a stapler.
Was a good start,
which
was
is not
it?
Good. But the reason I was handing you your house keys was that you're in a bit of a state as well, right?
Well, as you handed me the stapler, I put out my broken right hand to pick it up from a night out. And I didn't have my glasses on because I lost them in Dublin, so I couldn't see how far away your hand was. Oh, Vin... Then you go away for two weeks.
It's shambolic, isn't it?
Everything crumbles. But you look really well, actually. You look really healthy.
Oh, thanks, man. That's very nice.
At least one of us has got good blood.
Well, we both had fun.
We did have fun. And some of it's going to be on the podcast as well.
Yeah, well, so you were in a state because you went to see Mumford and Sons.
First
you?
Night of the tour in Dublin. What a great place to start a tour as well. And also we had the big launch of Delta. So I think there was an after party. We might have been there as well. But yeah, we celebrated that on the evening show this week. And there's a little bit of that in the podcast for you.
So there's a lot of that. It was Mumford and Sons night.
Marcus Mumford, by the way. He really got involved. He really got stuck in. Because they're a big band, right? They're a huge band. Probably one of the biggest bands in the world right now. And he's married to a Hollywood star.
Mm-hmm.
So you think he might have been a little bit more reserved, a little
bit aloof.
Harder. Nope. Yeah. Straight in. First story about nearly dying in Scotland, falling off a pier.
Amazing.
And that kind of set the tone. I tell you what, as well, classic album this week, Klaxons from Monday Night, going back to 2007. That made me feel very old.
Myths of the Near Future. Yeah, I remember buying that. I remember playing that incessantly in my bedroom, yeah.
Well, I remember the night they won that award.
Yeah.
And they celebrated properly.
Did he not? He broke his ankle or something, didn't he?
Yeah, Jamie Wright and Jamie Reynolds.
I remember him being on crutches a lot.
Yeah, they both really, really went for it around then. And God, do you remember their winning speech? They started too early, I think is how I would sum
this,
it up. Do you remember?
This all comes back to me now.
Do you remember it? Yeah, spectacular. They were thrilled to win the Mercury Prize. And they've probably just recovered and actually probably feel a similar sort of way to me today as well. But yeah, please enjoy the Evening Show podcast. Mumford's action is what it's all really about. Enjoy.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
I've got a band in the studio this evening who have just released their jubilant and epic fourth album. It's called Delta, and it will make your life better. That's what I'm saying. One half of the biggest and best band of the last decade are here. Some might say the better half.
You didn't say that
when
we came in.
We would. Well, we'll work out in the next half hour, shall we? A huge welcome to the one and only Marcus Mumford and the disgustingly talented Winston Marshall. Gentlemen, welcome to the evening
show.
Hello.
Thanks for having
Thank
us.
Thank you for having us.
Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, there we are. Happy with that?
That was very sweet, mate.
Thank you.
It is downhill from here, though. You set the standard pretty high.
Should we start off by talking about injured coccyx? You can't just tell me something like that and then not explain the bum injury.
Well, how did we get onto it? I don't know how we got onto it while we were testing our microphones.
We're talking about Stornoway.
Oh, we were talking about the fact that radio's changed and now it gets filmed.
Yeah.
And so you can't show up in the same kind of state that you might have showed up in the past. And we were remembering rough old radio sessions.
Yeah.
And there was one we did the morning after my 21st birthday.
Oof.
In Stornoway.
Oh, dear.
On the Isle of Lewis, and I was not in a very good way.
Really?
None of us were in a very good way, but
but you're particularly
I was particularly bad.
Right, right.
We were worried.
Are you?
Ted was worried. Ted doesn't worry, right?
He's
Ted
the
guy in
life,
the band.
Actually.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, Ted saved your life.
Ted saved my life with Pete Rowe. Do you remember him?
Oh,
he's
yes.
on our first two album covers.
Yes.
I fell in the sea. Off the harbour wall, but it was low tide.
Would have been good if the sea was there.
It was low tide, so there's only about a foot of water. Brown coccyx.
Hold on, that's cold as well, though.
It was cold.
So what was?
I like cold water though. Cold water was not the problem there.
Right.
If anything, I would have liked more cold water.
I was going to say, what's worse, cold water or a broken coccyx?
And then they pulled me out. They climbed down the ladder because it's quite a drop, and they pulled me out and they put me in the shower. Pete put me in his underwear. That was a vivid memory. The next morning. And then I had to, it was at the beginning of a 6-week tour of the UK, in a van.
Oh no!
So I had to drive because sitting on a rubber ring, you could use the pedals to like lift your bum up a bit.
Yeah.
And it was just enough to take the pressure off my very broken and very sore coccyx.
Oh man! What did you get for your 21st birthday, Marcus Mumford? A broken bottom
and a free pair of underwear. So
this is a bit of an odd question. Where does a man find a rubber ring in the Isle of Lewis at short notice?
It was on the way back. It was past Fort William at one of those little petrol stations that sells like beach toys for people who are mad enough to go on holiday in northwest Scotland.
Been to Stornoway? Broken your coccyx? Come here. We've got solutions.
Yeah. Tell you what, we've covered a lot of ground early on there.
Stornoway, though, great place.
It is an amazing
wonderful
place.
Wonderful people. We really bonded.
Yeah.
Really bonded.
In fact, all the way, you kind of belong to the Western Isles.
We went to
the
only nightclub. I think it was called Aura. The only nightclub in Stornoway.
Have you been, Gord?
I've been there a couple of times, actually. I remember being really sick because the ferry journey, regardless of the time of the year, is terrible, isn't it?
Try it with a hangover and a broken coccyx, mate.
you know, they've got a saying in the Isle of Lewis, actually, about whiskey, which is chuck the cork away. So you can't just have one drink, you have to chuck the cork away and finish the bottle. Ooh. And it looks like you followed that wonderful philosophy.
Do you know what? It was tequila.
Oh, really?
I think it was one of the first times I've drunk. I didn't really drink tequila much as a teenager.
You're not meant to get a hangover from that, though.
Agreed, but when you mix it with everything else.
Phenomenal stuff.
It's just a lot to learn. Now, early days.
Lads, we had... not that long ago, we had your erstwhile bandmates, Ted and Ben, popped in to see us.
How are they?
We don't talk anymore. We sort of have people to talk.
That's the right way to do it. That's the right way to do it, yeah. Send messages to the intermediaries.
Can you tell Ben he's a... please?
I can do that. Yeah, I'll pass that on. He's in here quite a lot, like, lurking around. I look forward to telling him that. Now, I wonder if you'd do us a little favour. Would you do an introduction for each other, maybe, and select the correct walk-on music you would give each other if you were doing that?
What, if we were introducing Ben and Ted?
No, well, you could do it for Ben and Ted if you like. Yeah, do that, why not? And what song would you choose for them?
I think with Ben. No, I was going to go too mean. The only song... I've got the
song.
No,
no, no, no.
But I don't know who to give it to.
You don't understand the rules.
The song Ted is definitely... Oh, go on. You do Ben, I'll do Ted.
No, do you do Ted?
Well, Ted is a well-respected man by the Kinks. Don't you think?
Well, yeah, or you could do Sharp Dressed Man by ZZ Top. That would work for him.
Yes.
Perfect.
Yeah, okay, fine.
It's the same theme.
That's good. Same theme. We're getting at something there. That's good. He's a man.
He's cool.
That's pretty cool.
And he's hairy.
Yeah. Where could we go with Ben?
Now, listen, don't think you've got to be kind. He wasn't very kind. Just stir that pot.
Interesting.
What did he choose for us?
He was absolutely lovely. I'm just stirring.
Well, I've got the... maybe All By Myself.
All By Myself. Oh, wow. Wow. Could you tell us a story about the lads that maybe people don't know? So if this is your chance, while they're not here, to tell us a story we've never heard about Ben Lovett and Ted.
Here you go.
Yes.
Both of them, on two separate occasions, have been involved in... We're not that boozy, but have been involved in over-catering for champagne. First wedding we ever played. It was my brother's brother-in-law getting married. My brother's sister and brother-in-law getting married. And they asked us to play. Early days, really early days, like summer of 2008. We played the wedding. It was great. Like, it was a favour for a mate. Very supportive of our band.
We were great, though.
We were,
sort of made the wedding.
Highlight of the wedding,
And next morning, they were going around, and we were, like, sleeping in our cars in the field, and they were going around trying to find all of the champagne from the night before. Turns out Ted had put it all in a bin bag because he thought, well, we didn't get paid, so I'll just take all this. And they were hoping to use it for lunch the next day. Couldn't find it anywhere.
No.
Ted came up to me and said, mate, I think I've got all their champagne. I don't really remember doing it, but it's all in the back of your car. So I thought he's planted evidence on me. So I went and told them it was Ted.
That's absolutely... You dropped him in it.
And then Ben, first time we toured in the States on a bus supporting Laura Marling and Johnny Flynn, we played in Vegas and we woke up. No, we had bus call at like 2 a.m., which in Vegas is quite dangerous because everyone's going to be late.
Yes.
Ben rocks up like 3, very merry, with a crate of like 12 bottles of champagne.
Yeah.
And it was the first time we stayed in a fancy hotel. And he said, lads, have you heard about room service? We were like, yeah. He said, well, they just bring you stuff for free.
Oh, no.
You just call them up and they bring you stuff. So they brought 12 bottles of champagne and we had to break it to him and he had to pay for that. So we made him pay for it, obviously. He's still paying off.
Why didn't he realise you had to pay for that?
Because he was merry and excited and hadn't used room service before.
Ah, Ben, love it there. That was a good story. Thanks for that, Marcus.
Two champagne-related stories.
That's great. I think
not really a champagne drinker myself, but they are.
Oh, well, as we've learned, it's tequila is your tip.
Well, no, not anymore.
Oh, I've retired. retired from that game.
Radio X. Gordon Smart. Radio X.
I'm Gordon Smart. This is the Evening Show on Radio X. I'm joined by Marcus Mumford and Winston Marshall, a pair of handsome devils that they are as well.
I was going to say, you're looking quite good, mate.
Thanks, Marcus.
You are.
It's remarkable, really, that you think that, Marcus, because I ripped the wrapper off it in Dublin. In fact, I think I shortened my life by a good 10 years. I really went for it in Dublin last week. It was a massive, massive night.
I have a track record of going too big on the first night.
Right, well, do you clip your wings,
Marcus?
He
also has a record of going too big in Dublin.
Week one of the tour, overexcited, really fun to see all the crew, particularly, yeah, who are some of our best mates in the world.
Yeah,
we have comedy dinner every night at 6 o'clock backstage. We all eat together. Week two, tonsillitis.
Almost every time. Where does the Mumford & Sons catering sit on the grand scale? Because we are told that you two are at the very top, right?
They really are.
It's outrageous.
They don't mess around those
things. Where are you boys now? Do you go daft? Do you follow the Ted Duane sort of attitude towards over-ordering champagne?
No, we don't. I think we recently reviewed our rider because we're starting tour again, and it's like a 2009 rider.
Wow.
So we just reviewed it and took off a bunch of stuff. Like,
what was on there? Anything unusual?
There's a lot of chocolate, a lot of fruit. We thought, the fruit, keep the chocolate. No, and we just don't want to waste too much. We're also going plastic free, which we're excited about.
Oh, good effort. Yeah, quite right. Do you ask for novelty items? Is there any pressure on the promoters? Can I give you some examples? Ash always asked for Star Wars memorabilia.
Do you know what I'd really like? Mm-hmm. I collect fridge magnets now.
Oh, do you?
So I'm going to put fridge magnets on the ride.
Marcus, can I just say that's a mistake? Because you're going to, everywhere you go in the world, there'll be a massive bag of metal for you.
Oh, that's true.
Yes.
Well, we did flags. Get your flags out for the lads.
That's good.
That was good. Yeah, that was really fun. I've got a big collection of flags now.
Oh, yeah. Your house is going to be full of stuff.
These aren't things you're going to want in your house.
Hey, have you seen my fridge? It's covered in magnets.
Great.
I need to buy another fridge.
Right, we'll actually talk about music thing in just a second. Are you okay to stick around for a little bit longer?
Of course we are.
More from Mumford & Sons in just a second on The Evening Show.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Radio X.
Right, I thought I'd tell you some exciting news about two bands with seriously hairy rock star pedigree. First, this lot. Mon the Biff, and I should say that me and producer Vin have been chatting away off air thinking about bands who might have albums up their sleeve next year. I wonder if Biffy have got one tucked away that could be coming out. Well, I'll tell you what they do have, some exciting dates next year. So Biffy, confirmed to headline Ireland's Independence Festival. That takes place between the 2nd and the 4th of August in Mitchelstown. That's in Cork. What a brilliant place to go and see them. I love Cork. So they're the first headliners alongside Bastille. Tickets are on sale now. Get yourself along to independencefestival.com if you fancy it. Just looking at those dates as well, there's a chance that Biffy Clyro could still be announced for Reading and Leeds. That's on the 23rd to the 26th of August, the bank holiday weekend. I wonder. New album, couple of festival appearances. Right, so that's Biffy dealt with, the hairy men of Scotland. Mon the Biff can also tell you about this band. You cannot accuse David Grohl of resting on his laurels, and putting his feet up. He's a hard grafting man. How about this for Foo Fighters news? European dates culminating in gigs in Belfast and Dublin. David Grohl and the band are going to be playing Vital Festival. That's in the Northern Irish capital, Belfast, on the 19th of August. Again, a brilliant city right now to go and watch some music and listen to some music. Then they're heading south to Dublin to do the RDS Arena on the 21st of August, 2 days later. That's a busy, busy spell for them. Reading and Leeds as well. Foos are headlining on the Sunday night at Reading, and they're doing Glasgow summer sessions as well. How does he keep that voice going? I've got no idea. Tell you what, though, if you like hairy men and rock and roll music and you've got a few quid in your pocket, you've got a brilliant summer of gigs already lined up next year. Unbelievable stuff.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
It's a very special night. It's Mumford & Sons night.
All right.
Come on, lads. Yes.
Every night is Mother and Son's night for us, mate.
Well,
and it's a living nightmare.
In all seriousness, though, there is a reason you're here. The new album is out. It's called Delta, and it is a triumph. Now, do you have a ritual? Do you have a band ritual when the album comes out? And we've had some interesting stuff in the past. Like Gary Lightbody from Snow Patrol said, in the past, they would have gone out for a week to mark the occasion, and he doesn't drink now, so he said he shook hands with Jackknife Lee. They just kind of had a little hug and off they went. He said, wow, it was kind of underwhelming. But do you have sort of a I don't know, some kind of party? What have you done in the past?
When we were finishing the record for 7 nights in a row, I was told we'd finished the record.
No, that is not true.
Well, I had assumed we'd finished the record.
Agreed. I was
so I went and celebrated every night as if we'd finished the record.
And I kept saying, mate, we're not done yet. You were like, well, we're pretty much... We are done. Next night. Oh, I feel terrible. Yeah, we've got quite a lot of work to do. Yeah, but then we're done, aren't we? No. Not yet.
That's not true. You've gone too far the other way, because there was... Epworth was in the middle, our producer, Paul.
Yeah.
Was saying, no, we're finished, and he was encouraging me to party.
Every night feels like last night with Paul Letworth, though.
That's a good point. So I'm a little bit done with celebrating the end of this album.
I still haven't celebrated yet.
Well,
because the night we actually did finish the album, I went to bed at 8 o'clock, and they all went out for dinner to celebrate with Paul Letworth and Tom Elhamhurst and our engineers.
I wasn't there. I was too hungover.
Did you not go?
I missed the actual celebration.
just Paul Epworth on his own.
He missed it from overdoing it. I was just knackered.
You were just done in. You're just tired.
I was tired. We poured it all into this one, and we're really proud of it.
Oh,
we really, really like it.
We got that sense from Ben as well.
Very excited to play it to people. Actually, to be honest, we celebrate by playing shows. Because once the album's out, then we can really go on tour in earnest. And that's the best kind of celebration for us.
Yeah, it's an exciting time, lads. Really exciting. Gentlemen, I'm writing a terrible book. It's lowbrow toilet reading called Slash Gordon. It's a terrible pun, but it's based on awkward conversations and encounters I've found myself having at gigs, at events, with famous people. Because you have to make conversation, don't you, when you find yourself in a room, just you and one other person, in quite an intimate environment. So we've got this mad long list now of all the artists who've come in here who've shared stories about the things that have happened while they're in the bathroom. So, for instance, we had Ronnie Vannucci from The Killers, the drummer, talking about having a wee next to Shaquille O'Neal, which is quite an intimidating experience to go through.
Wow.
When Ben Lovett was in here last time, he told a great story. He bent the rules slightly and said Winston behaved slightly strangely around Justin Bieber.
Not in the toilet.
But that was funny. It wasn't strange. It was just funny. Mm-hmm.
But you're a big fan, I believe. Is that right?
I am a big fan of Bieber, and I'm actually not proud of that story. And he definitely wins.
Yeah.
Are you proud of the story? You're involved as well. You're just as culpable as I am.
I think it's hilarious.
You were trying to be nice to Justin Bieber. That was the gist of it.
No, he wasn't. No, he was trying to get rid of Justin Bieber. the lift was too full, and Wynn insisted on the shortest person leaving the lift.
It's a little bit more complicated.
Maybe the shortest person should leave. We all looked around. And there he was, little Bieber.
You also...
I laughed a lot.
You made the point of telling him... I do want to make it clear, I'm actually a really big Bieber fan now. Really big Bieber fan. And
this
I didn't really
ago.
Know. This was a while ago.
What
you made the point of telling him, oh, mate, I just want to say, my goddaughter is a massive fan of your music. And then, I don't know if you remember this, we're in an elevator. You turn to us, hand over mouth, loud whisper, my goddaughter's only two. It was pretty mean.
That wasn't mean. It's true.
It's true.
No, she's older than
two. He wasn't in on the joke.
I was making a gag. Yeah. I'm sure he would have got it. He loves it.
Marcus, have you got a slash for us that you could share?
So, most of our funny stories come around that Grammy time because it was just ridiculous, right? Like, we're complete numpties showing up to this quite serious music event and feeling quite out of place. And the first year, we played with Bob Dylan. T-Bone Burnett put together this thing with us and the Avett Brothers and Bob Dylan. And we were at the rehearsal space up in Burbank in LA. And we're all kind of rehearsing, getting ready, and Dylan is his like ashtray with his smokes like propped up next to the matchbox. Everything's perfect and ready for him to walk in and do his stuff. And he's really late, obviously, because he's Bob Dylan, he does what he wants. And so I walked out to go to the toilet and walked past this guy, sat down next to the toilet in a Mac, smoking a fag, and did a double take, walked right into the toilet, was right next to him, and was like, oh man, that's Bob Dylan. And I went into the toilet, so I went to the toilet and washed my hands, and there was nothing to dry my hands with, so I waited in the toilet for about 6 minutes so that I didn't have to meet Bob Dylan with wet hands.
Oh man.
Because it's always bum out, isn't it, when you meet someone with wet hands?
It's terrible, yeah.
So
yeah.
I waited.
Yeah.
And that's my
that's good. You're absolutely right, and it gives us a chance to play an absolute legend, Mr. Bob Dylan, on Mumford & Sons tonight. It feels quite appropriate, doesn't it? Bob Dylan, Subterranean Homesick Blues on Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X.
Really looking forward to this one. It reminds me of a very happy time. Claxon's Myths of the Near Future, which came out in January 2007. That's 11 years ago. Feels like 11 years as well. It was massively successful, peaking at number 2 in the charts. NME loved it. They called it the Album of the Year, and it won the 2007 Mercury Music Prize. If you get a chance, go and watch Jamie Reynolds and Jamie Wrighton collecting the prize. It is phenomenal, phenomenal viewing. It was recorded in a tiny little seaside town in East Sussex called Battle. Surprising place for the birth of a dancey rave album, I tell you that. The band intended for it to be the first part of a trilogy, and they called it a concept album about their fantasy vision of the future. So the tracks included stuff like Atlantis to Interzone, Golden Scans, the famous Golden Scans, Two Receivers, As Above, So Below, Gravity's Rainbow Magic, and It's Not Over Yet, which has become a big anthem. Properly noughties as well. Scratchy guitars, synthesizers, plenty of big indie poco dance floor smashes. It's soaked in the gold glow sticks and alarms. And the tune As Above, So Below got a cult classic remix from noughties electro legends, the giants that are Justice. Loads of highbrow references as well. Don't feel bad if you don't know any of these. Magic is about an old British magician called Aleister Crowley. Gravity's Rainbow is named after a Thomas Pynchon novel. There's a bit of William Burroughs in there as well. And what else can I tell you? Yeah, just lots of highbrow stuff. Look them up and you'll be the most intelligent person at your local pub. Now, I'd love to know what you think about this when we play it back to you. All your little memories from 2007 and what it reminds you of. And remember, go and check out that speech, that acceptance speech from the Mercurys. People say rock and roll is dead. Not when these lads are around. So a double play from the amazing album Myths of the Near Future, kicking off with Golden Scans, and then the amazing It's Not Over Yet.
The Evening Show, classic album of the week.
X. Radio X.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart. Show classic album of the week.
X.
Two massive songs there from Myths of the Near Future, Claxon's, going back to January 2007, 11 years ago. It's Not Over Yet there. That was the fifth single, cover of a song by dance band Grace. It was originally co-written by Paul Oakenfold. That original was actually just called Not Over Yet, but the Claxon's took some artistic liberty and added it. Before that, I played Golden Scans, named after a piece of lighting that the band liked, apparently. Hit in the UK, but it did very well in Belgium. Who would have thunk it, eh? Just reminds me of Skins. Remember that? The real launch, I think, of an adult actor called Nick Holt, who you might have recognised from About a Boy, and a generation of other actors who are now all in Game of Thrones. What a brilliant song that is in the background. There we are. Atlantis to Interzone. Belter. About the mythical lost city, of course, but there's also some more highbrow literary references, as you find with the Claxons, and that is William Burroughs. Very clever stuff. The album title, Myths of the Near Future, that came from a J.G. Ballard book. He's the man behind High, Rise and Crash. Claxons boys, not reading Viz, reading highbrow material. Some nice messages in for this album tonight. Nathan Holmes says, Gordon, the album reminds me of Leeds Festival, being very drunk and having a great time. I think that's quite often the memory of this album. An absolute belter tonight. Myths of the Near Future from the Claxons.
Radio X. Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
Lads, I've got another question for you. Again, we were given an answer about this by your erstwhile bandmates about your worst ever gig.
Erstwhile, like they're yes, not going to be tomorrow.
That's exactly okay. That. Ted said to us that you played a gig, I think it was in Putney, where I think the Champions League final was on. There were two people
there. Swindon.
Was it Swindon?
Yep, six people.
Right.
Winston was not one of those six because he was at the Champions League final.
Ah.
And we watched it whilst playing. There was a TV screen in the back.
Right.
And the sound engineer kept shouting out the score in the middle of songs.
What instead of 1-2, 1-2.
Yeah. That's when John Terry
It's a great game.
It was a great game, that, wasn't it? It was a John Terry tears, wasn't it?
When, fantastic scene. I enjoyed seeing him cry more than watching United win.
What's the question?
Worst gig. Worst gig. What's your the one that gives some inspiration to bands who might have had a stinker at the weekend? Happens to the best.
Wynn got overexcited when we played Frog.
Yep.
For the first and only time. Never headlined it. We played upstairs. We headlined the upstairs room, which is for like 50 people. And Wynn got really excited, took all his clothes off and climbed over the PA while we were playing White Blank Page, which is a quiet number. And quite banjo heavy. And he was nowhere to be seen.
Banjo heavy. Oh, man.
I'd like to take the opportunity to apologise to my bandmates for behaviour on that night, mate. 10 years ago.
Can you stay around just a little bit longer, please?
Of course we can.
X. The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Supergrass caught by the fuzz. This is the Evening Show and I'm Gordon Smart, and there's a reason we play Supergrass tonight, not just because they're a brilliant band. And remind me of the happy days in the 90s, peak Gordon Smart. I just referred myself in the third person, that's criminal. What a brilliant band. And Gaz Coombs, he's been, his solo stuff's ace as well, but there's this great story kicking around today. Let me tell you all about it. Gaz Coombs, he's been forced to cancel his upcoming gigs because he's been Bruce Lee'd by his 15-year-old daughter. So, apparently, broken his leg playing in this article. They describe them as his children, but at 15 years old, do they still count as children, his teenage children? So anyway, shared a lovely x-ray picture on Twitter today of his broken leg. He said, I've only gone and broken my leg, larking around with the kids. I got Bruce Lee'd by my 15-year-old. Let's just say she connected too well. Oof. So anyway, the bad news is he's had to cancel gigs in Utrecht, Lille, some in Spain, Italy and others in Europe. He's also had to reschedule some of those UK dates, putting them back to May. Go and have a look if you had tickets, just but want to check in and make sure you're not missing out. But he does promise he will be back soon. He's had surgery as well at the John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford, and he thanked the amazing staff, good on him, the wonderful NHS as well. But he's out promoting his album World's Strongest Man, which is also ace. But it got us thinking here about rock and roll injuries. I've got one I can share with you, an embarrassing one when I was 13 years old, dancing in my bedroom. The song was Blur, There's No Other Way. Get Graham Coxon's amazing guitar solo. Dislocated my knee. That's a bad one. It's a bad one. Johnny Vaughan told us earlier on that he was leaning over for a packet of Rizla from his bedside table, and he also did long-term damage to his knee. Have you got a rock and roll injury? 83936 and at Radio X. I would love to hear about it tonight. Here's one more. This one's horrific, right? A guy called Ben Knowles, who works for War Child. He's a lovely man. Does loads for music. Ben Knowles had a newly born son, and babies, if you've had them, you will know, have very sharp fingernails. His baby's fingernail just scratched the surface of his eye as he picked him up, and it cut the cornea. Apparently one of the slowest parts of the body to heal, he had to wear sunglasses permanently for 18 months. Ow! That's a rock and roll injury, but what is yours? 83936 at Radio X. It doesn't have to be as dramatic as that. The more ridiculous, the better, is always our little philosophy on the Evening Show. Right, let's have some elbow. Remember Guy Garvey telling us a story about throwing whiskey in a fire that nearly ended badly? That was his rock and roll injury.
Radio X.
Andy in Reigate. This is a little bit Grange Hill, not so much rock and roll. Smarty, I went to an all-boys school, rainy day, tuck shop, about to shut at the end of break, running full pelt to get my Mars bar. Left foot slipped in a puddle, closely followed by the right foot. Slammed into the open door, legs akimbo. Ouch. Nice one, Andy Reigate. Hasn't lived with him, that one, at all, has it? Appreciate that, Andy. Good man. Hello, Gordon. Rock and roll injuries. My son once got a load of paper aeroplane templates for Christmas. He made one up, threw it through the house just as I was turning the corner from the kitchen, and the wingtip sliced across the lens of my left eye, ironically creating a tear-shaped mark as I blinked. 4 years later, it still gives me jip. Mike from Lancaster. I'm really sorry about that, Mike. But what a great pub story to tell people. Ham that one up, get a free drink. Wynn in North Wales. This one's very Grange Hill as well. Hello, Gordon. I broke my toe dropping a frozen microwave meal on it. Oh dear, Wynn. Oh dear, oh dear. And the poppity ping. Gordon, I broke my arm and I had a 6-inch metal plate inserted. The break was so bad. After arm wrestling in a pub after a gig. Martin, finally, one that is genuinely rock and roll. Really, really good. Really good. I was the singer in a band called the Atomic Hound Dog. Good average name. We checked out the venue we were due to play at the next night. We had a few pints. The resulting drunken fun ended with the guitarist accidentally leaning on my ribs with his knee during a play fight. Snap. The next night, I may have looked emotional on stage, but that's because he had burst two of my ribs and I was in agony. Andy in Wigan. I love that line. Just he was just leaning gently on my ribs with his knee. Brilliant stuff, Andy. Top man. Kevin Goymer as well. Hello, Gordon. Saw Oasis at Earls Court in 97 when Live Forever was on my 14-year-old brother-in-law. Oh, he was on my shoulders, so he could see. Now, it was very slippery. Sweat, beer. Slipped, broke my ankle. I still walked home. Only found out the next day when I woke up in pain. Good man, Kevin. And I will see you tomorrow at This Feeling, my friend.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
This one, I've kind of known a little bit about it over the years, but I thought I'd share it with you. Noel Gallagher and the role he played in the film that is now described as a huge success, a runaway success, A Star Is Born, Bradley Cooper and Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I've not seen this film yet. Have you seen it?
I haven't, no. I remember the original with Chris Christopherson and Barbara Streisand.
Well, that was the
got
a remake itself, wasn't it?
Yes, it was. Yes, it was
this
third time round.
Yeah. But I've got, you know what? I've got a lot of time for Lady Gaga.
Yeah, she's brilliant.
I think she's very talented. Yeah. She's got a good voice. And this film sounds pretty good.
I've interviewed both of them, actually, over the years. Lady Gaga, really intimidating, which I think is the best thing in a superstar.
Well, exactly. You sort of want... In that, you know, that pop world, you want a diva to be a diva, don't you?
Yeah, she changes the temperature of a room. And Bradley Cooper, also, Hollywood hunk.
Yeah.
He is... a gorgeous man. He is beautiful. Look at him. You're amazing.
He's got flowing locks, hasn't he? He's sort of, I think he's verging into that Brad Pitt territory,
I sat and had an awkward conversation with him when we were out one night with Noel, and I showed him a picture of me and him that he had no recollection of, sitting in the A-team van. Probably not the work he's most proud of
now.
Almost as good as The Hangover right now. Anyway.
Speaking of Noel,
Noel Gallagher is in the news this week because he was speaking to Q Magazine about the part he played in that film. Now, him and Bradley Cooper are really good friends. They go back about 6 or 7 years. Noel took him to his first Glastonbury, did you know?
Oh, wow.
But did you...
That's cool, because there's a bit in the film, isn't it, from what I've read, that he's playing on stage and they filmed it at Glastonbury, didn't
they? Exactly, yeah, they did. So I think it was the second time they were at Glastonbury together. He was really getting it together and doing bits for the film.
Oh, cool.
But he asked Noel how to carry off being a rock star, and Noel's been talking about it in Q Magazine with some lovely words. In other words, as always, Noel taking credit for it, but he does it quite well. He said that Bradley used to say to me, I want to get it right. The hardest thing in the world is pretending to be a rock star. So Noel went on to say, for somebody who isn't a singer or a guitar player, he really carries it well. And then he goes on to say, in fact, I was like, that's me. That's my patented move. That, with a few sweary words thrown in.
Oh, of course.
So he saw him do something in the movie that he thought he'd ripped off. Exactly.
So look at that, singer, guitarist, and now acting consultant as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but I wonder what the fee was.
Yeah, good point.
He wouldn't do that for nothing.
Absolutely.
But yeah, fair play.
But he's expanding his Hollywood friendship group now, isn't he? Because he's got Matthew McConaughey in there as well.
Yeah, they're good pals. Yeah, Bradley Cooper. Who else was in there? Woody Harrelson's been knocking around with them a bit.
This is bizarre, isn't it? This is the most sort of star-studded lineup you would ever get in Burnage.
Do you know what it is? Right at the heart of it is Bono.
Oh, really?
So Noel's been seeing a lot more of Bono the last few years.
And Bono's connected.
And he's just surrounded by this incredible group. He just surrounds himself with talented people. Why not?
If you're going to be a rock star, that's the way to act, isn't
David Blaine, Sacha Baron Cohen, Matthew McConaughey.
Hang on, David Blaine.
David Blaine belongs there, definitely.
Does he?
Yeah. Could you live in a box for 3 weeks?
Would I want to?
Well, everyone looks at you. People hitting golf balls at you. Anyway, Noel Gallagher, he's the man behind the genius Bradley Cooper in that film, A Star Is Born. Chick flick. That was his review. He said chick flick, but he's good in it. She's good in it.
Oh, fair play.
That was his review.
The Radio X Evening Show with Gordon Smart.
Radio X.
It's Mumford & Sons night. A night dedicated to two handsome devils, the better half of the band, I'd like to say.
Wow. He said it.
Well,
he's called it.
I've got to say that because you
can't say it now. Did you say that to Ted and Ben?
Yes, I did. Yeah, of course I did. Yeah, we'll be able to clip that. It'll sound brilliant. Right, I've got a challenge for you, lads. You up for a bit of a challenge?
Yeah, maybe
now, the last time the boys were in, I've got an 8-year-old son, and he's getting really into music at the moment. And as multi-instrumentalists and brilliant musicians, I asked Mumford's advice on what he should learn. Ben Lovett gave him some advice, which wasn't appropriate. Playing the drums because girls love that.
Right.
Anyway, my son had his first saxophone lesson the other day, so he totally ignored it. But, gents, would you agree with that advice, or what would you tell somebody to pick up as the first instrument?
My trombone teacher when I was very young, I was so bad at trombone that he asked me to quit.
What a great story.
I don't know what advice to...
Could you play this?
I had one piano lesson and thought, this is not for me.
Really?
And just start drums.
Yeah. Well, I've got a little challenge for you, lads. Here we go.
Okay.
Choose your weapon.
Oh, wow.
Come on.
Here we go.
Oh, no.
Oh, wow.
Let's see what happens.
I think I know what I've got.
Now, this is a true test of musicianship. Can you knock a tune out of a chicken?
Hey!
Oh, it sucks in as well. That makes it quite hard.
Yeah,
I can't clap, so this is great.
You can't clap.
Can you not? Hands. What's that? Winston right. Marshall can't clap.
I can't clap in time.
Ah, right.
Ooh. Well, so this here is
we
fun. Go.
We have presented, for the benefit of anybody listening at home, we've presented a basket full of instruments, a mini acoustic guitar, a little clapper.
Wait, there's salt there.
Here we go. Right. So the challenge is, boys, can you knock a song out of any old instrument we've picked up around the streets of Soho this afternoon?
Turn my microphone up, please. Check this out. Watch this. This is a salt. This is a salt packet.
Here we go.
Do we need to write a new song?
This, but we share the PRS.
Can you shut up? I'm trying.
Publishing.
Shh. Ready? Oh, wait, I've got an idea.
Can we loop that?
Yes.
Yeah, let's loop that, and then...
I wish Ed Sheeran was here.
Give me the claps.
Here we go, here we go.
See if you can figure out what song this is. Ready?
Oh, yeah.
At the car wash! What? It's perfect!
That'll do. Absolutely brilliant, lads. Congratulations. And the chicken to finish.
There you go.
Lads, thank you very much.
It's a really
sad happy birthday. Oh man, Winston Marshall,
Marcus. Happy last birthday.
Oh man, it was so sinister. There is a window into the world of Winston Marshall.
Lads. Like.
Marcus, thank you so much for coming in. Winston,
thank you.
It's a real pleasure.
Thanks, you're a very
and listen,
good host.
All the very best with the album. It's phenomenal. And also those dates, they're going to be outstanding, aren't they?
It's going to be a good start. It's just till June that, and then we'll be doing more.
Just till June and then plenty more like
yeah.
that. Happy days. Mumford & Sons on Radio X. It's empty in the vibe. Radio X.